Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This NFL Week 1 recap and Monday Night Football Props edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $100 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit. Receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for free sports betting picks, props, and parlays. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. We're also brought to you by Odds Crowd. Are you the best football bettor in the United States? Odds Crowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contest. Over $30,000 up for grabs this season. Go to oddscrowd.com to sign up.
This is Jim Mora, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Crame?
Dog. Oh, Sean, just a swell day in the National Football League. My guy, Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, wow, your guy.
My guy.
He's been. You said your guy. I was assuming we're going to talk about AKA Danny. Where's the change? No dimes to be found. Digging in the couch. Can't find a dime to save your life. I thought we were going to talk about Daniel Jones, right?
I figured, you know, we both have Vegas voice.
We do. Hardcore Vegas voice. And we're doing this podcast live from our hotel in Las Vegas, wrapping up a great week here at the Blue Wire Studios at the Wynn. That was awesome. Doing the, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday shows from there, and it was great. But yes, eventually the dry desert heat, and again an insane amount of gambling. Nice number of tickets cashed, and I'm just hitting the wall with my voice and getting dehydrated. Got a lot of the SGPN crew out, so shout out to Moonoff, Terrell, Boston Capper, and Go Bearcats. Also Bowser, but I feel like I always see Bowser or when we're out in Vegas now. He's our official friend in the desert, so it was great too.
He just appears.
Well, I mean, I guess I had Hello, them in a different category because they were people that we know and that we worked with and actually got to hang out with, knock back some drinks, break some bread, watch some games, and most importantly, Ryan, win some goddamn bets over at the Wynn. And we were betting live here at the Wynn Las Vegas. If you can't make it to Las Vegas, don't worry. Las Vegas can come to you via the WynnBET app. Just go to WynnBET.com. Get down on that $1,000 risk-free sports bet. And again, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. So many states are active. So many nice betting options on that WynnBET app. Fire it up. Easy to use, even easier to cash. So check it out, winbet.com. If you want to win big, you got to do it with WynnBET. Kramer, any other, what's your takeaway from this Vegas week? It does.
We've been here for a long time.
It does feel like I'm getting let out of prison. And certainly
I can't wait to sleep in my own bed. I can't wait.
Certainly comparing Vegas to a prison and the Vegas lifestyle. It's a bit of a stretch because we're eating nice meals, drinking. So we put in a nice 16-hour shift on college football. College football started at, I'm going to say it started at 7 a.m. because that's what time you.
We're not going to include Friday in the weekend.
You can include Friday. Also,
when
Friday,
you went to the spa, got the cucumbers on your eyes. I was grinding out fantasy teams.
Kramer did draft some FFPC teams for multiple hours.
I was in a cab at 8:20 a.m. I did not finish until after 8:30 p.m. I went. It was only half of draft. It was a half draft day.
But we met you out over at the Planet Hollywood, where you're getting down on all your draft in action. Ran into some random Canadians who love sports gambling, and they mentioned to me their favorite comedian. I go, "Oh, actually, you know that comedian? I got some dirt for you." And I shared some screenshots with these Canadians. Blew their goddamn minds. That was really fun.
Instant credit. Isn't it funny how you can just get instant credibility?
I was showing them different celebrities. I had their phone numbers. They were taking screenshots of it, or they were taking a photo of me holding my phone of a couple celebrities I have in my phone.
Wow, dude.
And they were loving it. They were good dudes and big hockey guys, as you'd imagine. And also big into the NFL. May have told him to get down on the Titans, so hopefully they didn't do that.
Quick funny story. Small little news piece ran out here in Vegas, Sean.
And, that we were a part of.
A little spot featuring the beautiful new Blue Wire studio at the Wynn.
Yeah, got a little press.
And if you watch it closely, Sean, if you go back and watch it, you'll see my uncle makes a cameo
walking in the background
in the shot. Really, apparently made Cousin Mush's day.
Yes. And Cousin Mush also on the list. While not in a official contributor as far as a post or podcast, he's definitely a part of the SGPN family.
There's nothing better than the cry that can be heard in a sports book. It can be a loud, buzzy sports book, but when something happens that is, which it seems to happen every time, hence why he's called Cousin Mush.
It was
the sound. It's almost as distinct as the baby effing whale drop, Sean.
Yeah,
it's a baby fucking whale, man.
Where you feel like there's like a, it's almost like wildlife is happening. Like, how is this happening to me?
Well, and that sound drop really reminded me of just hanging out next to Capper in the sports bar. He goes, "Let's go, my caca." Like, are you fucking kidding me, Macaco, with that? And then Cousin Mush, who is also like, you know, is just losing his mind.
The drunker they get, it's like
And I feel bad. I feel like a number of the guys were on the Cardinals.
Oh God.
Titans over, which just seems so juicy.
Mush is just like 10 minutes left in the game. He walks back over to myself and Boston Capper and goes, "They're not going to score another time in the fucking game." After they missed that field goal, he goes, "They're not going to score again."
It was at 51. Everyone
Capper's
had
like,
it,
"Get out of here."
Had it at 52, 53, 53 and a half.
Horrible beat.
They got out to 51. And I not a totals guy. If I was, I certainly would have taken the over there. I like the angle. I loaded up on that game in DFS, expected it to be a shootout. Unfortunately, it was for the Cardinals. Cardinals defense, you could put there, Ryan, as one of the more surprising things from NFL Week One.
You know, we mentioned it during the preview that there were some guys on the defensive line that could be a problem, but we came to the conclusion that they wouldn't be and that they would be washed up. And the
secondary, I mean, I still can't name many. I couldn't name people in the Arizona secondary. They played great.
Well, the thing that surprised me was coming out of the half, I highlighted how bad Cliff Kingsbury was in the second half.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't make good adjustments and because his offense is basic. But he out schemed Mr. The Coxman himself, Mike Vrabel. I mean, honestly, one of the top five, like, surprising observations of the day. And it's more like, wow, Tennessee's bad. Like, Tennessee didn't look ready to play. T- Tennessee looked like it. Perhaps Arthur Smith is more important than.
I mean, if they can't put up points, or even like garbage fantasy points, I bet
this fucking game 6 months ago, Sean.
If they can't put up garbage fantasy points at home against the Cardinals across the, if they can't put up fantasy points there in that situation, when can they put up points? All right, we're gonna walk through the games, give you our leans, and I think it'll be fun, Kramer, if we do this as we go through. Is this moving your season takes? We came into the season with obviously some hot takes. And will these games slide you off your hot takes or not? Or I think we're checking in on, you don't want to overreact, but also you don't want to underreact where you see shit and you're in denial and you go, no, they're still good. They're still good. And then you're 4 weeks in, you keep riding them and they're complete dog shit.
Week two is overreaction week.
It is. So we got to find that sweet spot. And of course we're brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out brand new propswap.com. They got a rewards program as well. And I was hanging out with the PropSwap guys Friday night, watching Coastal Carolina, my bonus lock, sweat it out. That was a hell of a sweat. It was amazing. And again, that's what's fun about PropSwap. I probably could have tried to list my Coastal Carolina ticket. Wouldn't have got much value because it didn't really improve in value till the very end of the game, and that's what's fun with PropSwap.com. Do I list my Nick Sirianni Coach of the Year ticket?
No.
It's only been one game. The odds have certainly changed. Good luck getting Nick Sirianni at 50-1. But again, it's all about improving value. And give them a follow on Twitter. They're always tweeting out fun tickets. And check them out, PropSwap.com, or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap, it's where America goes to buy and sell sports bets. Bucks 31, Cowboys 29. Obviously they didn't cover. We sweated out our Circus Survivor pick. We hit that pick. That felt good. If you didn't see my photo of a Cowboys couple crying went viral, as the kids say, Kramer. I took a photo with when we left where we were watching the viewing party, came back to our hotel. As we're leaving, and again, a shout out to Cousin Mush for pointing this out. There is a man and woman in matching Cowboys jerseys. The woman was wearing a bright tutu and they were holding each other as they were crying. And I used it as a great opportunity to take a selfie, not a big selfie guy. So this to me, again, do I think Dak looked better than I would have thought? Yeah. There were still some moments with him running around where I'm like, that mobility, the Dallas defense still looks like a ton of questions. The Warren Sharp clip of Micah Parsons just running around completely lost, and he's supposed to be the best defensive player. They did come up with some big turnovers that really kept them in this game,
which is like, you got to note that, right?
Yeah. I mean, like and some of these, and we'll get to some of these spots where like Godwin fumbling on the two. I mean, the Brady interception was like tipped multiple times. There was also Brady interception on a Hail Mary. So you look at the turnovers, and I think they set a number of like NFL records for turnover differential and still getting a win and letting up all these penalty yards that heavily penalized. And that's something, you know, in hindsight, I had this idea kicking around of just laying into all the unders here for week one. And maybe we should have done that because I mean, we'll look at the final number, but Dallas, Tampa Bay, a lot of penalties, and now Lyle Collins is out for the Cowboys. So, I'm still high on the Bucks. They got the W, sleeping a little bit. I love them. I love that trend of the Super Bowl winners. They fuck that up, but other than that, I'm not moving either team tremendously.
Super Bowl winners did. I mean, now 19-3.
Yeah.
So,
it's still a good trend. I think they were just a little sleepy in those fumbles. You know, kudos, I guess, to Dallas for forcing them. I mean, I do think their defensive coordinator is an upgrade from last year. Can they keep them in games, or will it just be like, the five games that Dak started last year, where they let up a lot of points, put up some okay fantasy numbers. And what's Zeke's fantasy numbers looking like, Ryan?
What do you get, like five?
Not good. So what are your thoughts on the game?
I mean, I think people will overreact to Dallas's offense. I think they will ignore the fact that, like you said, there is a tremendous turnover differential and the penalties. I mean, honestly, I thought Tampa's defense also was quite unlucky to not turn over Dak a couple times. Interceptions hitting defensive backs.
Yeah,
hands.
They missed a number of those.
You know, Dak making great individual plays to avoid like really disastrous situations. I was impressed with the Dallas offensive line. I'll say that they played better than I thought they were going to play.
Well, with no Zach Martin, especially, I thought they held up better.
I think we have to remember that Tom Brady, like this might be a team that wins.
It's a baby fucking wheel, man.
Wins, but doesn't cover for a bit because they'll be overrated because they weren't that spectacular. They just
especially last year, they were kind of sleepy early on the season, figured it out. So their ATS record ended up being pretty solid, if I recall correctly, partly because, you know, people are down on them early. So I think maybe the move with Tampa Bay is wait for the overreaction and then maybe start riding them again. We'll have to see the situation wise. Steelers 23, Bills 16. We both had the Steelers catching 7 there. Why it was neither of our dogs, I don't know. I guess I was just scared of fading Buffalo in Buffalo with getting fans back for the first time in a long time. But I felt really good about it. Just about giving the Steelers this many points, and they were in our super contest, Circa Millions picks there. But I they were able to move the ball. Defense showed up. I'm not adjusting too crazy either way. Certainly Josh Allen didn't, and the Bills offense didn't look lights out. But I'm still
defense
high
could
them.
Be really good.
Yeah. And I'm not, again, this is a game. I'm not probably doing a crazy adjustment on either team. I think this was just a good situation. And a couple of these teams just at home, a little sleepy. Are you moving the Bills down, Ryan?
I think you have to at least be that whisper in the off season of the Josh Allen historical leap.
Yeah.
Year 2 to year 3. That idea that maybe there'll be some regression there. Maybe that you have to put that into your mind a little bit. And I think the other note here is that it's clear to me. I mean, Buffalo's offense is a good offense and no one really had a great time at slowing them down last year without Josh Allen making a bunch of mistakes.
Yeah.
This defensive effort felt a little bit like it was more of just, they locked him down. So
yeah,
I would say Pittsburgh's defense quite good. They were a value in the, like their price to win the division and stuff is only going to go down. And Buffalo. Yeah. I mean, you got to worry. You at least have to be aware that maybe Josh Allen won't be as good. Sean, I went and looked at my best ball, of Josh Allen. I kind of avoided him. I have more Kyler. I have more Lamar. So, you know, if he regresses, I'll feel okay about it.
You'll be all right. Jets 14, Carolina 19. Oof, what an ugly game. We picked it at 4.5. We were both on the Jets, but I think on Tally's side, I picked it at 5.5.
There you were gotta times, get the right number, Sean.
No, I mean, again, I actually didn't bet any money on this game because the number was moving all over and it ended up closing at 3.5. And I'm like, oh, geez, 3.5. I think you might have to go Carolina, but I still like the handicap of the Jets. I mean, our boy Robbie Anderson had a nice big touchdown for us. That was awesome for our big money fantasy league. Zach Wilson had a couple nice throws. I thought this would I thought this was on pace to be like kind of a track meet more similar to the Arizona Tennessee game. Kind of just ended up being an uglier, sloppier game, but nothing major here. I mean, I think Carolina getting the ugly win makes sense. Jets struggling on the road, game one makes sense, but you saw some flashes of Zach Wilson being interesting. I think fantasy wise, Carolina offense wise, not maybe as potentially high powered as I thought, but also
McCaffrey's going to get crazy workload.
Yeah. Also it could be the Jets defense isn't that bad.
How do you rank the rookie quarterbacks first game? Just based on the eye test.
All right. So we got Zach Wilson. We got McCorkle. We got Trevor Lawrence. I mean,
I would go one McCorkle.
Yeah.
two right behind him, Zach Wilson, and then not even in the same universe, Trevor Lawrence.
I kind of agree. I mean, you look at Trevor Lawrence's numbers and maybe
you could
sell that they're
no.
But if you watch that game,
no, they got their ass beat.
Yeah,
and that he looked bad. He was
in some garbage time, and we'll just get to that game. Yeah. Texans 37, Jags 21. We were both on Houston +3, +3.5, whatever you get it at. Kramer hit that dog there.
Can we just pause for a second? Everyone made fun of me when I threw out Texans to be a playoff team at 13-1. Everyone
made
fun of me.
We're on pace to go 17-0.
When I said Texans Texans win the division 13-1, Texas make the playoffs 8-1. It was a joke. And then what happens? Tyrod comes out. What do? They smash the ball down your fucking throat.
Yep.
And they beat up a rookie quarterback. We talked about the trend. I'm kind of pissed the rookie head coach road trend that I gave out got me off of Carolina, a pick I gave out in the summer in the Jets game. But in this game, we spoke about the historical trend, right? Last time this happened and they won, it was 2003. So you always want to get on the other side of that. And it just didn't make any sense that Urban Meyer, a guy who would you be surprised if his team wasn't prepared for an NFL game, Sean? Would you be surprised? Trevor Lawrence,
they looked lost.
I've not seen Trevor Lawrence impress me yet as far as him being this, you know, generational, like Andrew Luck-like talent. Like when Andrew Luck stepped on the field as a pro, you saw it. You saw why he was considered this Peyton Manning level talent. When Trevor Lawrence is out there, I don't see anything special. I don't see anything different than some of these other quarterbacks. So those really smart people, those sharp people taking those Jags to win the division, horrible first game. And sure, maybe I'm overreacting right now because the Texans just put up 37, Sean. I bet Texans to be the highest scoring team of the week.
Oh man.
They came pretty close. It was washed by the early slate, of course, 38 from the Cardinals, but yeah, I mean, this was my dog. It was gross.
Well, and 49ers ended up getting 41.
Oh, I'm sorry. And
you were in the mix.
This was never in doubt, Sean. This was never in doubt.
No, and I'm pissed we didn't have it in our card. I was probably the one who nixed it because it felt maybe too cute. And clearly, in hindsight, my Detroit pick was maybe the too cute. Although, whatever.
Well, I think I even said that about the Detroit pick.
Well, again, and I don't know what the Circa Millions number was, but the sports book was going nuts when they got that 2-point conversion, because I think a lot of people had them at 8.5 or 9. They end up losing 41-33. Not massive takeaways from this game as well, as far as like, yeah. I mean, San Francisco should push them around. Detroit, I thought maybe a live dog, you know, and again, they're just a bad team. Turned it over when they shouldn't. We did see a guy rocking a Jared Goff Lions jersey, which I tweeted out. I assume he's related to Jared Goff.
Props to Jared Goff.
Yeah.
I mean, impressive comeback.
And you know, 49ers got the pick six. And obviously I've been talking a ton of shit on the 49ers. So I'm sure their fans are stoked that I was wrong, but yeah, we'll see. Long season, big game next week. Going on the road to Philly.
Healthy scratch.
That was weird. Do we know the story from that?
No, and not really sure. Raheem Mostert out now with a knee injury already. I mean,
wait, Mostert's out with a knee injury. So then Trey Sermon non-healthy scratch next week.
Maybe we'll see. Perhaps it's because he wasn't going to play special teams or something silly like that. I have no idea. Elijah Mitchell got some work, a draft pick. Who knows? But the San Francisco team looked good. Honestly, if Goff had settled down earlier, the pick six was really like a huge swinging point. But
yeah,
the fact that when all summer during the fantasy season, when we were talking about like how these Detroit receivers at some point someone's going to be valuable, there was so much garbage time.
Yeah,
there
was a lot of garbage fantasy points in this game.
And once
player
again,
prop stuff too.
DeAndre Swift did not look good. Did not look good.
Broke a touchdown though.
He dropped a couple drops, but our guy Jamal Williams, what does he do? Gets the ball, drops his head, and just crushes people.
Yeah.
I mean, poor Detroit. Poor Detroit.
I know. It's a great. It's right up there with Cleveland of like great sports city, but just like, man,
broken.
Can't figure it out. Kramer, you know what's broken? big wireless providers. I mean, come on. You hear all these stories about the big wireless. Oh, it's the greatest. And then there's got to be some sort of catch. There always is. So when I got involved with Mint Mobile, you're talking $15 a month. There's got to be a catch. The best part is there is no catch. The only catch is Mint has their secret sauce. That's right. It's the first company to sell wireless service only online. No retail stores, no guys spinning signs outside. That all costs money. Pass the savings on to you, the customer. That's what Mint Mobile does. Love it. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with Mint Mobile and keep your plan and same number as well. If you're not 100% satisfied with Mint Mobile, I don't know why you wouldn't be. Money back guarantee. Just switch to Mint Mobile right now. Get the premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. Just go to mintmobile.com/sportsSGP, mintmobile.com/sportsSGP. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month. mintmobile.com/sportsSGP. We already kind of hit all over Arizona, Tennessee. I mean, that was probably our biggest whiff as a podcast. Tennessee just, I was surprised about Tennessee's offense, but again, Arizona's defense. And if this is sustainable, I have to see a little bit more, I guess, but I definitely am bumping up their defense. I didn't see this defense coming.
I think we also, my takeaway with this game would be, I think the worry of Tennessee's defense being bad, it looks like it might be really true. Cause I do want to see them against a higher level of competition. And then as far as the offense, yeah, was it Arizona's defense, or do they really miss Arthur Smith that bad? Like, is this going to be a thing? Because they looked horrible. Tannehill looked like a different player. I almost don't want to bet on the Titans. I want to stay away.
He seemed lost, and we've seen, you know, the Tannehill resurgence. Part of me was just like, oh, that's the non Adam Gase. He's found his mojo. Could that all have just been Arthur Smith? I mean, Arthur Smith took his mojo down to Atlanta.
That didn't work.
I don't know what was going on there, Ryan. They didn't bring much of that mojo.
Not look. They needed they needed a couple mojo moments.
They needed some mojo moments, as their boy Mike McCarthy likes to say.
Again, don't want to overreact, but I didn't see much from the Titans at all. I'm not going to say all of a sudden the Arizona defense is great. I need to see that again.
I'm gonna give them a slight bump up. I guess because I had them ranked so low that I.
Well, the offense can score, and that's the important part. Yep. And most importantly, they didn't just lay an egg in the second half. They kind of kept the foot on the gas as much as they needed to.
Chargers 20.
San Diego Superchargers charge.
Washington football team 16. We picked it. Washington football team plus one. I mean, I remember breaking this game down, and it was a tough game to handicap because there's a lot you could make a case pretty easily for each side. I landed on WFTs, as did you, Kramer, because for me it was like, why is this team not favored? They're both pretty equal on the, you know, on a neutral field. Why is Washington not getting the 3 home points? Ryan Fitzmagic gets knocked out. I said he wouldn't make the entire season. We'll see what happens with his hip and how long he's actually out. But we just have never seen a 17 or even 16 game season with Fitzmagic delivering wins, with the exception of that 2015 Jets outlier. You said Heinicke was in the mix for the starting job. He came in and actually looked better. Chargers, though, this game really all came down to that. I think it was Antonio Gibson fumbled inside their own 10 and then set up an easy touchdown for the Chargers. Other than that, it was like a pretty much a defensive struggle.
I mean, it felt, you know, that being the game, it felt like we were on the right side. I mean, but kudos to Herbert because they look, I mean, again, Herbert looks good. Like he just
Looks good. Doesn't look like he fell off much.
And
I do think there's some concerns. Can they get that ceiling that their offense had? It would be crazy to say they were missing Anthony Lynn, but they certainly had like you know, the deep ball with Herbert.
Mike Williams had a nice game. Keenan, I mean, it was a good
but
effort.
It's just like, you know, there weren't as many massive plays that we saw at times from the Chargers offense. I think a lot of it is the Washington defense.
I was going to say, in fairness, they were playing maybe the best defense in the league. So pretty impressive to go on the road and beat the best defense in the league, even when you knock out the quarterback, because we don't think Fitzmagic is that much better than Heineke.
Philadelphia Eagles 32, Atlanta Falcons 6. I mean, let's go. Biggest bet of the trip, Ryan, you would never guess it. Philadelphia Eagles money line. Maybe WinBet will have to cancel us, Ryan, because I laid a nice chunk of change on the Eagles at +150.
Nice.
I'll be honest, 32-6. Obviously, the Eagles covered the spread. Obviously, the Eagles won outright. Great start to the Nick Sirianni era. Rocking the Devonta Smith jersey. Devonta Smith's first reception as an Eagle. Touchdown. You're welcome. Eagles, the defense, I would say, and this sounds crazy, if you only let up 6 points, left a lot of turnovers on the board. They ended up getting one, but they had like multiple times where they got to hit their hands on an interception, couldn't do it. And they had a bunch of bad offensive line penalties in the first half, which really I was pretty surprised at. Now, if that continues, that's going to be a huge issue for them. But I don't know. Maybe it was an outlier. Maybe it was this reffing crew. Because this
we
crew
have to
called
do a deep dive.
This crew called a shit ton of penalties on both sides. Maybe that was it. But really, I mean, Jalen Hurts looks like an MVP caliber quarterback. Nick Sirianni looks like a coach of the year caliber coach. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Are we overreacting, Sean?
No. I mean, they look pretty good to go out on the road and win by 26 points in the National Football
Massive
League.
Massive downgrade of the Atlanta Falcons.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I mean, it was going to be a cakewalk for them. Eagles defense let up a lot of yards in those first few drives. They held when they had to.
The Falcons don't have an offensive line, and the Eagles defensive line controlled the game.
Are we replaying the preview podcast? Because that's what I was saying. Philadelphia, the D line will dominate.
Where I was surprised is that they weren't able to take advantage of the back end of that defense.
Yeah.
And perhaps the original question we asked, I think that at the beginning of the Falcons divisional preview, is Matt Ryan done?
Matt Ryan sucks.
Did you see him make one good throw today?
No.
I didn't see single.
You know what he did? He hit the easy stuff to the receivers early on when the Eagles were letting them move the ball. He did not seem to throw any guys open. Interesting about like the rushing situation. I mean, our boy Mike Davis, 15 carries, 49 yards, nothing. Receiving, Calvin Ridley, quiet game, 5 for 51. Kyle Pitts, quiet game, 4 for 31.
Where's the gold jacket crew right now? Where are they at?
Who's that?
Well, like people saying Kyle Pitts is.
Oh, yeah, first ballot. I mean, again, I thought the Kyle Pitts thing a little overblown for a team that normally struggles with tight ends. We took care of him. Devonta Smith, 6 for 71 and a touchdown. Very great start to his career in Philly. I mean, this is deep fantasy stuff, but Quez Watkins, who I was hyping up on the DFS show, 3 for 23, 3 catches for only 23 yards. It was weird. The first three plays of the game, they threw it to Quez Watkins. So he had 5 DraftKings points.
You probably felt smart as shit.
I did. And then I don't know what the hell happened. Maybe, you know, DM'd Sirianni's wife. Kramer, how worried are you about this Philadelphia Eagles team?
I mean, they looked good. It was a good win. I think
great
the,
win.
I still would be concerned about the back end of the defense.
But I mean, you
if they're able to control
the high powered Atlanta Falcons, you shut down Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts.
If they're able to
zero passing touchdowns on the road,
if they're able to,
what are you concerned about?
I mean, I would say you would much like the Saints. It looks like their team, like the defensive and offensive lines. If they're able to control games like that, think that obviously things are going to go well. If
yes,
big if.
Still hate. It's all right, Ryan.
I mean,
we're 1 week in.
I told you,
it's going to be a long, good season for the Eagles. Seattle 28, Indianapolis 16. I mean, even that last touchdown was bullshit. Fuck you, Carson Wentz. You ginger Judas. Huh? Where's your you can't blame Doug Peterson. Can't blame Howie Roseman. Can't blame the city of Philadelphia for not supporting you. Oh, what? Oh, you worried about Jalen Hurts taking over the starting job?
No. I mean, Jalen Hurts definitely better than Carson Wentz, right?
Oh, Lock City.
How'd they get a first round pick for Carson Wentz? That's crazy. I mean, Seattle.
Howie Roseman.
Seattle looking great. I mean, still Seattle doing Seattle things, letting Indy kind of hang around in this game a little bit too long.
A little, but it,
but the Russ, Tyler, Metcalf double stack worked perfectly. Yep. Sean, I had a DM
that my Russell Wilson, 4 touchdowns, 250 yards, 0 interceptions. Chris Carson had a good day, 16 for 91. Wentz 25 of 38, 251, 2 touchdowns. You look at that stat line, you're like, oh, that was solid. But I mean, watching that, no, he fumbled twice. They recovered it once. He was just not able to move the ball downfield. Like even some of the completions were just like, and this is something I noticed with his tenure in Philadelphia. Like he didn't hit guys in stride. So a lot of times they wouldn't get the yards after the catch that you would need in that situation. And it was pretty obvious in this game. I mean, that Tyler Lockett touchdown that Russ threw to him, like the over the shoulder catch that Lockett made was just a thing of beauty.
No one throws a deep ball like that, dude. He throws it up in the air and this guy goes, gets it.
Yeah.
That's how it works. Rank the AFC South teams right now.
Well, cause it was just seemed like, all right, well, they all suck, but then Titans, that's pretty easy, right?
They look like the worst team, man.
Yeah.
I mean, at least the Jags were playing a divisional game and their ass beat. Yeah.
Oh man. What a weird division. Yeah. No, I'm just soaking it up and just enjoying
it's football.
Seeing Carson Wentz lose. We're all over Seattle -3, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Minnesota 27, Bengals 30. Went to OT. I took the, I had Minnesota. You took the Bengals, Kramer.
I don't know why you took the Vikings. They have a general contractor as a quarterback. I mean, come on.
He's building plexiglass
cubes. This is bad, Sean.
Vikings 24, Bengals 27. It was one of these games. I stayed away from it. I mentioned it a number of times where it was like 2.5. It's like, this is trappy as shit. And shout out to all the Bengals fans that blew up my mentions. I think, Ryan, we both predicted the Bengals would be a 2-win team. So they're already halfway there. I know this because we made the Who Day Bengals Journal as Sports Gambling Podcast predicts the Bengals to only win 2 games. Got a lot of negative feedback from Bengals fans. And hey, I'm here to own it. Talked a bunch of shit on the Bengals. Yeah. I didn't think that one Joe Burrow and his leg, would be that good.
He was hobbled in the game.
The late ACL tear was something that was just a massive red flag for me. And I'm suspect of Zach Taylor as a coach. I'm still kind of suspect, but really suspect of Zimmer. I mean, you have all this talent on offense and maybe the Bengals defense I'm underrating, but you have all this talent on offense. You don't put up more points and you know, man, Zimmer, I thought maybe Zimmer being the hard ass would be able to figure out something with the defense, but they just Vikings didn't look good. I mean, there's not much to take away from that. I'm definitely moving them down a notch and maybe giving the Bengals the respect they probably deserve. Cause I really thought they were going to be a complete pile of shit, but if Burrow, you know, that leg holds up and it certainly looked good week one, I'm moving them up, man. I mean, that's something I gotta look at.
This was the first game of last season too, a tightly contested battle.
Yep,
that was decided on.
Bengals won this one though.
Yeah, they won this one. I would say, you know, maybe this is something to note for next year. Don't overreact to the preseason. Jamar Chase looked pretty good catching that fucking touchdown pass.
Well, but I mean, again, it's one of the, you know, it was more. It was just like him not like clearly not confident with his knee is what I was reacting to. Not necessarily the preseason one or the other. I wasn't high on Ja'Marr Chase either way. I wasn't really buying that much into the hype, but
I do think we should, I mean, we do have to note this, but the Kirk Cousins thing, I don't know what to think of that. I would almost not touch how you feel about the Vikings because they're going to look like a different, they're going to look like a different team at home. You know that
that's true. You get that spaceship rocking, but still, I thought they were a team that could go out and take care of business on the road, especially offensively. And they showed they weren't. Ryan, make sure you check out.
Which, by the way, real quick, sorry, before I cut. This was the other half of the grossest money line two-teamer of my life.
Oh, yeah.
Cincinnati money line, Houston money line.
Dog.
PicksWise is the number one app for sports betting picks, helmed by a team of trend watching, data devouring sports fanatics, giving you the who, how, and why behind every prediction for every game, every day, and every sport, loaded with best bets, props, and parlays. You can find in-depth analysis on every game all for free. Found your picks, search the latest sportsbook promotions to sign up an account, compare the odds, and place your bet. Download the PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. PicksWise backs responsible gambling. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Kramer, we're rounding out the rest of these games here. Also going to be giving out some Monday Night Football prop bets. Before we do that, well, we already hit on 49ers Detroit. I feel like we covered that one pretty well. Cleveland 29, Chiefs 33. We picked it at 6. I bet it over at the win at -5. God damn you, Andy Reid. Always Andy Reid getting a little too cute. They just kicked the field goal. I was happy taking the push. I was sitting next to our boy Moonoff. He was on the Browns, a +6, like the sharp he is. And I kept saying to him, Moonoff, it's going to be fine. I'll take I was being all generous. I go, I'll take the push. Just give me the push, Moonoff. Let me have the push. Instead, I got the mush. Cousin Mush was also on the Chiefs.
No.
But this, and I'm pissed I didn't hop in, fire up the WinBet app and get on some in-game wagering, because this comeback for the Chiefs, you just felt like you saw it coming.
And 2-1, caught it.
To the people who think the Browns are going to be big boys this year and make the AFC Championship, this is the kind of games you got to win. These are the kind of teams you got to put away. And it was the revenge game for KC. Their line came together, and really it was just their D was a little bit soft, but you saw it in this Chiefs team. As soon as they get a little bit of momentum on offense, get some scores, that defense gets confidence. And that when that defense is playing with confidence and a lead, they are like good enough to help carry over Mahomes. Yeah.
And it also important moment was the flowing long locks of the Cleveland punter dropping the ball and then trying to run. It's funny. It doesn't work the same as the dreads in terms of making you look more athletic. I don't know why they went for 2 there. I guess 6 is better than 5.
But probably. Boy,
in the moment, it felt like Andy Reid must have known that a restaurant was giving out free chicken sandwiches if the game ended on 33 there. Because goddamn, why they didn't have to do that, Sean? They didn't have to do that. And boy, the theme of the day is constantly being reminded of how hard the NFL is to bet on these games. It's so hard. Sean, it's every year, week one. It's like, oh wow, look, it's going down to the number.
Some of
again,
these, I mean, that
the Detroit game. Are you kidding me? Yeah. The under in the Tennessee game. Are you kidding me?
The 5-point spread, which was just like right where it was at.
Are you kidding me?
It was something. Something's up, Ryan.
Nah, what a foe the NFL is.
New England 16, Miami 17.
Belichick's washed.
My lock, New England. Fucking, oh, God damn it. God damn this New England team. And again, I was sitting next to Cousin Mush. They call him Mush for a reason. They're driving. They're about to get that go-ahead touchdown. And it was an ugly slug-it-out game. Like, my handicapping was, this isn't going to be a pretty game, but I'm going to take the better coach at home going against his former assistant.
Is it a better coach?
Yes. Bill Belichick is better than Brian Flores. Miami, and again, Miami fans, thank you for checking in. I feel like we'll be hearing a lot from each other during this year. I, you know, even the you know, the even the some of the biggest Miami fans on the old Twitter, when I go, oh, let's be honest, Tua, they go, that's a team game. He did whatever he needed to get the job done. Okay, you want to do QB wins?
It's a team game.
Which I don't disagree, but imagine that Dolphins team with instead Deshaun Watson. I still and I know I should be apologizing more to Dolphins fans here, but I still was not impressed. 202 passing yards, a touchdown, a pick. Doesn't look good. Maybe it's just because he throws left-handed. His mechanics aren't great. I was kind of disappointed of Patriots D line not doing a little bit more than I thought they would. But really, this is just an ugly game, and the Patriots fumbling on the way in to score, it was the difference in the game. Kudos, you know, and one more thing, like when I was kind of down on handicap in Miami, part of the angle was like this defense just survived on turnovers. How long can this last? I think it regresses, but the streak continues. So maybe their defense is just so good at creating turnovers.
I was counting my chips in this one.
Yeah,
when they were at the 10-yard line,
I was too.
I definitely feel like
Capper and everyone. You know what it was?
Honestly, I mentally supplied the energy.
This random guy from Brockport, Massachusetts. Oh. As soon as they get this big play to get it first and goal, comes over and goes, fucking Patriots! Ah! And I made the mistake of high fiving him. The bad juju got into my body. I immediately regretted it. And literally one play later, it fumbled. And like Capper and this random Boston chatterhead in the sports book had already started the like, where are you from? What part of Boston? Like conversation. And I could tell Capper still felt obligated to finish the conversation, but as soon as the Patriots fumbled, he was so fucking mad that he didn't want to look at this guy or see him. It was very just Boston crime. Looks like we scrolled down.
Kramer, what is there something missing?
You literally deleted the game. Don't worry, we're going to talk about it. Denver 27, Giants 13. This should have been my lock. Denver Broncos. This shouldn't have even been 27. They got the garbage touchdown. Danny Dimes trying to pad his stat. Of course, gave you that fumble as he does. Danny Dimes always good for one.
He's got his average down to one per game.
Not only did he, exactly as advertised. Also Saquon Barkley, like I said, not a first round fantasy pick. Not worth someone in. Not worth someone backing in fantasy football. 10 carries, 26 yards on one catch. Said he wasn't going to be used a bunch. And if he wasn't going to be effective because of the offensive line problems. There was nothing I was wrong about in this game, Ron.
At some point, we used to have the Soprano music. Did we not?
We do not. We should get it back though.
I think we need to bring the boat trip back. The other kind of boat trip.
The boat trip where they don't come back.
I think it's time to send Jason Garrett out to pasture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I told you.
What about all these assistants? I was giving him innovative ideas.
I was optimistic, and I told you if it didn't change, I was going to immediately become furious.
Yeah.
Offense. When they spread it out and they put a little pace into the game, they were able to move the ball. When they didn't, they looked like hot garbage. They threw four, maybe five times, third down and short, third down and 4 or 5. They threw 2 yards short of the sticks. Receivers coming back towards the line of scrimmage. Just nonsensical bullshit. So here's what's going to happen, Sean.
Yep. Listen,
Joe Judge.
Oh, right. Well,
we're still good on Joe Judge. But
is this what the season is going to be like? We pull off different people that we're going to eliminate from the organization.
Right now, Jason Garrett's being voted off the island because there are reports that he was running laps after the game.
Coach Jason Garrett. You keep addressing him as Jason Garrett. He doesn't like that.
He's not my coach.
Whoa.
He's not my coach. Put two in the back of his head. leave the quarters on his eyeballs. Let's go. So what do you want? We can move on. We don't have to talk about
no,
this.
But I mean, we should talk about the Giants.
Denver looked good. Ted, the Butler, the Butler as usual. Room
he's consistent.
Service.
All he does just sits back. Five yard completion. Run, punt.
Here's my takeaway. You should fade the Giants with tight ends in fantasy. They can't. They couldn't guard Noah Fant. They couldn't guard Big Albert O.
Albert O got in. Do we still have him in dynasty run?
Nope. You told me we should cut him.
That was a bad decision.
Almost
as bad of a decision as drafting Kadarius Toney in the first round. What was his stat line?
There's a reason they make the windshield bigger than the rear view mirror. We're going to look forward.
Okay.
Get 1% better every day and look ahead to Thursday night against the Washington football team and a backup quarterback. Next game, Sean.
No. All right, Ryan, are you willing to address that? When were we willing to have the Danny Dimes conversation?
What's the conversation?
That he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I mean, he looked fine when they ran him out of the shotgun. Three wide receivers, put a little pace into the game.
Ryan, I came to terms with Carson Wentz sucking. I
just want to see them run that offense for the entire game.
Okay.
I just want to see them try.
Defense didn't look good.
Defense struggled a little bit. But again, it was
MetLife rocking. I saw a number of Broncos fans in attendance.
Is that a question?
No, I'm just pointing out that there is no home field for the Giants and that the Philadelphia Eagles 1-0 on pace for a 17 game historic wins.
They're
going to
go undefeated.
No, they're not, but they're on pace to.
This is the worst way the season could have started. You're way too excited. You're gonna be so sad when Minshew's starting in 6 weeks.
Ryan, come on. Of all the people to go after, you go after Jalen Hurts, 3 touchdowns, 250 yards on the road. Your quarterback lays a complete dud.
I don't know.
Saints 38, Packers 3. I was on the Saints. I wasn't in love with it, but to advocate putting it in our contest. Or to making it my dog play, but I like the idea of Jameis Winston playing well in September, you know, in Florida, in that Florida heat. Aaron Rodgers looked really bad. We were playing Aaron Jones in fantasy. He didn't do much. Packers defense fell apart. I mean, the other angle I was on was like, I think the no Bakhtiari thing is big.
Were you with us when we were noticing how much he looks like Nicolas Cage right now?
He's kind of getting into a weird space. He had like a bandana and like this weird pregame puff piece he did with Aaron Rodgers or Aaron Andrews.
If they make this into some sort of biopic, Nicolas Cage is playing Aaron Rodgers.
I've heard it. I've seen it on Twitter. I've heard it from Dick Olson's friend at the sports book. There's a conspiracy theory that Aaron Rodgers is intentionally playing bad. To destroy the Green Bay Packers from within.
Yeah, the Packers fan near me was convinced that he wants to sign with the Giants next year.
But the Giants have a quarterback, Ryan.
Not if Aaron Rodgers is available.
Wow. Okay, so you're now on the same page as Gettleman. Doesn't want any part of Aaron Rodgers.
Gettleman might be going out on the boat with Garrett. Maybe they have two cinder blocks.
Multiple boat trips. Last game of the Sunday slate, Rams 34, Bears 14. Maybe I was on the Bears, you were on the Rams. Maybe I got a little too cute here with the Bears play. I do think if Andy Dalton doesn't throw that interception into the end zone, they might get the cover here because that definitely changed the makeup of the game. But the Rams offense looked really good. I was a little skeptical that you could just drop Matt Stafford in and he would look really good in that Rams offense. But that's pretty much what happened. Bears didn't have any answer for Aaron Donald. Not really that exciting of a game to close out Sunday.
I mean, nothing like not having the best earlier part of the day and then not adding more to your -8 on the Rams. Cause you know, they're going to crush the Bears. Cause you're like, I'm good with the bet I have.
Oh.
I don't need to put more, even though I've had a bad day. I shouldn't go back to the window because that would make it an even worse day. And then they come out and just absolutely kill it. And honestly, Sean, kind of feels a little bit like what we talked about in that Sean McVay wants to show off his new toys.
Yeah.
I don't know how much this team's going to be a running offense.
No. And yeah, we've gone back and forth on that and kind of like who is going to be the big benefit of the, you know, of the Rams offense and having Stafford. If they do end up popping, who really is the guy or guys? Jefferson had a big play.
Woods didn't do much. Higbee, you know, I was
looking at Higbee's numbers because he was
five for 68, I think,
which is pretty solid considering you could get Higbee essentially for free, you know. So the fact that you're getting those decent numbers from him, not bad. Daryl Henderson, 16 for 70. Sony Michel, one carry for 2 yards. Cooper Kupp did, you know, 7 for 108. I didn't realize it was that 108 he got up there. So, yeah, I mean, that defense, the defensive line was legit. And really, yeah, maybe it's just that easy. If you don't have Jared Goff sucks island, your team is really awesome. And maybe in my head, I'm the team I'm handicapping, the Bears, is the team with Justin Fields on it. Cause you just see that kid. He's like grabbing at his shoulder pads, just itching to get out on the field. He gets on the field. He scores a touchdown and you're still trotting out Andy Dalton. How long do we have? I'm not even a Bears fan. Could you imagine you're a Bears fan? Or you imagine you're Matt Nagy?
Imagine if this was a business.
Yeah.
You bring, and you have someone that can do a job really well, but yeah, you let this other guy do the job, but then you bring him in to do the job really good once in a while.
Yeah.
But only once in a while. Not,
imagine.
And then the rest of the time you just put him in the closet.
Right. Imagine if we had someone hosting a college football podcast and he didn't do it in an Australian accent. He didn't call himself Pick Dundee. What's the point? You have Pick Dundee sitting on the sidelines. Yeah. Put Pick Dundee in.
So yeah,
that's not a Colby, pick. Colby. This is a pick.
Less Pick Dundee. No Pick Dundee.
We were walking around on the Vegas Strip, Pick, myself, and and Bowser. This is pretty funny because while you were wasting your life drafting for 9 hours, Ryan, I was going to catch some rays by the pool. Normally not a move I do in Vegas. Had a couple hours to kill before a happy hour.
Is that where you got the cucumbers on the eyes?
Never did
your
that.
Pampering day.
I tried to go down to the pool. You know, the pool's closed. I'm like, what do you mean? It's Vegas. You can't close the pool. It's a thunderstorm. I'm looking out. It's completely clear. These fucking soft people closing the pool because of thunderstorms. I walk out. Colby and I and Bowser all on the sidewalk. And go, we're not going to get struck by lightning. Shit you not. 30 seconds later, like this giant bolt, closest I've seen lightning in a long time. And I leaned into it and I go, you know what? We didn't get struck. I stand by my prediction. We should be at the pool because it was, and then it poured down rain for like 15 minutes and we're all fine. But we took a break, head over to the Walgreens, and there was a really sweet Australian looking hat. And I told Colby I would authorize this as a business write off, but he would have to host a video in it for it to qualify as a tax deduction. And so we spent $20 on a hat for Colby
on wardrobe. Nice.
And it was really it was a fun video. So check it out on Twitter, IG, you know, the social medias. Okay. Oddscrowd.com. I think I'm doing really well in their season long college contest. Probably not as well in the NFL contest. I always max unit. So, you know, a little below 500, but the good thing about oddscrowd.com, weekly long contest with SGPN, aka the network you're listening to. All you got to do is have that SGPN app, $100 given away every single week. So make sure you're getting those. And then obviously $30,000 up for grabs, $10,000 in the free roll football contest, the season long odds crowd contest, $3,000 in the college football. There's just a bunch of awesome contest they got going over there. It's great for pick tracking, social stuff. Oddscrowd.com. Download the app. Get the picks in over there. I mean, it's free. You're already making these picks. Why would you not also want to be tracking them and winning free cash? Nothing sucks when you have an amazing week. You go 12-4. You're like, oh man, I only bet like three of these games. So make sure you get in on these weekly and the season long contests as well. I'm sure if you get hot, you can still take care of business in the season-long contest. Kramer, breaking news. Did we give away $100,000. Is there anyone in all the entries leading up to Monday Night Football that is in the mix for $100,000?
I was combing through it. I didn't, you know, my brain's about operating at maybe 38% capacity. I don't think so. Don't think so, unfortunately.
It's fair. Okay.
But I am going to validate that. So I'll report back in the morning.
Time for our Monday Night Prop segment here. Again, brought to you by prizepicks.com. Use our promo code SGP. Get up to a 100% deposit bonus. prizepicks.com. And of course, it's pretty easy. Over under five player entry, $20. Get all five right. Pays $200. These are just so fun. I could do these all day. Kramer, what do you got over in your Monday Night player props?
Prize picks. Yeah, I mean, let's start with Mark Andrews. Let's see what did Oakland do? Travis Kelce, 16 catches, 235 yards in two games against this team last year. The receiving core is a bit of a question. I think we're not really sure what that's going to look like, and I think this team has said they want to get back to what they are, and that's a team that's going to run the ball, and they're going to get the tight end involved in the passing game because those are the throws that Lamar can make. So we are going to take the over five receptions for Mark Andrews.
Okay. This one, and maybe I'm getting cute, but these are always kind of fun. I'm going to take Derek Carr rushing yards, 4.5 under. He's just not a guy who rushes at all. I mean, you're looking at these, his rushing totals, -1, -2, 0, 12, 5. Okay. There's a couple outliers, 0. It seems like towards the end of last year, he's really stopped rushing the ball. I think the Ravens pass rush can keep him in the pocket enough. I just like Savage. Betting these. It's more or less, will he scramble once? They're just fun for Monday Night Football. I'm taking the under.
All right. I'll stick with Derek Carr, and I'm going to take over 259.5 passing yards.
Yeah. I like that one as well.
He only went under this total once last year at home, and Peters just went out with the ACL, and that was during the practice week. So that means that, you know, someone had to step into that role. Yeah. So I'm sure there's going to be potentially some miscommunications. But again, he only went under that total once at home last year. So it kind of feels like a mispriced line here.
Yeah. And I may have said five, but 4 for 4, you go $20 to 200 over at prizepicks.com, promo code SGP. Henry Ruggs over 34.5. I'm just projecting Henry Ruggs to have a little bigger year than people are thinking. And I think it's going to be interesting from a fantasy point of view. And 34.5, he just needs one. Again, we pointed out the cornerback issues for the Ravens. I also like his over 2.5 catches for Henry Ruggs. He doesn't have to have a massive game. Like 3 for 35 feels like a very reasonable stat line for Henry Ruggs. I think people, the narrative is they're just like, oh, this guy's a boss. Fuck him. But I don't think he's that bad. And I think him even being okay would really exceed expectations, especially with these low prop numbers.
Honestly, I came into this saying I was going to take whoever the lowest Raider was. Waller sitting at 5.5, Renfro 4. And then I saw Ruggs and Edwards were at 2.5. So then I looked at the actual prop. The Edwards prop is pretty consistently sitting more around 3. So I just took that one out of principle. Another guy who it sounds like they like, it sounds like they want to get him involved. So I think you can argue for both these receivers to go over this total.
Yeah.
They both seem awfully low.
Yeah. And I think they're going to surprise people a little bit here.
So yeah, I think Brian Edwards over 2.5.
Yep.
One more.
My final one, cause I gave out Ruggs over 2.5 and the 34.5 Darren Waller. And maybe Kramer, it's just because we have him in our ETH league. We need Waller to have a big game. I think we're up 17 points. Guy we're going up against has Jacobs and Ravens defense. So Waller has like a pretty solid game. We should be in good spot here, but 70.5. I mean, this guy just eats receptions for breakfast. He's going to be a tough guard. And I do think the secondary is going to have their hands full. I'm not touching any of the rushing props, but I think losing that cornerback like they did late, even in the practice week, like you mentioned, I think it's really going to impact their defense.
All right, my last one, Lamar Jackson.
Ooh.
Under 19 and a half completions in the game. Sean, how many times Lamar Jackson's played 46 games?
Yep.
How many games do you think he's gone over that number of completions?
Played 46 games?
46 regular season games. How many times has he gone over?
28.
Seven.
Really?
Only twice last year.
Wow. Yeah, no, he is. And a lot of the easy completion stuff with the running back question marks. And I would, and if you go Taysom Hill or what's the running back's name? Is it
Taysom Hill?
Taysom. No, not Taysom Hill. Who's
Taysom Williams.
Taysom Williams. If you go, if you're playing with his totals, I would go under. Like, it's just not that easy. It'll take him like a game or two to figure it out. And I think they're projecting his rushing to just kind of be like, hey, you walk in and he's just right there as with the rest of these running backs or what you would expect to be projected. And I think it takes a little bit. It's going to be a tough spot for the Ravens. Kramer's on the Ravens. We picked it at 4.5. I'm on the Raiders, the Oakland Raiders.
Do you want to
get our shit going mentally?
Do you want to give out a quick first touchdown?
Go for it.
All right. Let's chop up some units. Let's spread it around. We're going to take Taysom Williams at plus 1100 for the Ravens with a quarter unit. We're going to take Mark Andrews plus 850, which also a fun sprinkle on him. Anytime touchdown score plus 125. And then we're going to hop over to the Raiders. We're going to stay with the tight end position. Darren Waller somehow is 10-1.
Yep. That's mine.
I don't understand why this is priced that way, the way they use him around the red zone. I understand they like to run the ball. And the other, I'm not going to take a running back for the Raiders. I'm going to take one of the receivers because I think that's fun. So I look down the list and who has the longest odds? Give me Bryan Edwards plus 1600.
Yeah, that one's fun. I'm with you on Darren Waller. 10-1, lock that one up for me. And then what is Kramer? What do you have Ruggs at? Is he like 15-1?
Ruggs is 14-1.
Okay, yeah, Ruggs is my other one.
Can I give you like a really fun long shot? If you're for the Ravens, for the Raiders, Willie sure. Snead.
Ooh,
revenge okay. spot.
I like that angle. I did like Robbie Anderson's revenge angle. Him doing the jet plane. You knew that guy was getting one. God bless Robbie Anderson.
Well, and he was helping his, and Sam Darnold ran one in the revenge spot.
Very, but that was it. The rest of the Panthers offense, although McCaffrey, for a guy who didn't score a touchdown, still had a bunch of usage and yardage. Oh man, football is in full swing. Let's go, baby. Again, big thanks to all the degens that made it out for NFL week one. We got more stuff on the work, you know, in the works here. Going to just try to keep cranking out here and doing more shows at the Blue Wire Studio as we go for the NFL season. It's here. Let's go. Download the app, spread the word, give us a rating review on the, especially on the Apple Podcast. That really helps with the podcast rankings cracking, you know, going neck and neck with some big ESPN shows. So you guys toss us a nice little 5-star rating review. And of course, Merch Monday, every Monday, giving away free gear and you're up to win it. If you leave a review there, you're in the mix for the Sports Gambling Podcast.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
Sean stacking the money green. How about those Eagles? Right? And he is Ryan.
Hokies are 2-0.
Kramer, let it ride.